we're continuing in Proverbs, and we've been calling this Successful Living is what the series is. And I made a statement at the start of the service. I was talking about, and I actually got this from Dallas Willard, about the need for us to quit talking about saving souls and start talking about saving souls and lives, because that is exactly what God does. And I was thinking about, I assume that was a psalm you read. I should probably have that memorized, I know, but I don't. But I assume that was a psalm that you read during our prayer time. And one of the things that stands out to me is how we just need God so much. And I think that what we're doing very often is we're presenting Christ as only the answer when we die. He's the answer now when we live. And really, we shouldn't be saying, what will you do if you die tonight? Do you have a relationship with Christ? What we should be saying is, what will you do to live for Christ now? This is really what God is after, is us to learn how to live and have that successful life that we need to have. And whatever's happened up to this point in our lives, I got to tell you something. I know I've seen a few people say this on Facebook here recently. I don't know if there's an uptick, and I know with all the violence that's going on, people could say, how could a loving God allow all of this to happen? I want you to know something. You have to understand that if God doesn't give us a certain amount of free will, can I just say this? He can't experience love back from us. Do you know that? And unfortunately, in this fallen world, you're going to have these types of things. And in God's great patience and in His long suffering and His great mercy, He's even given perpetrators the time to repent because He loves everyone so much. I can buy into that, especially when I see stuff that we're getting ready to go through this morning. And I've been telling you that I've had different lives. I was in a life where it wasn't so good. I'm not saying my life is perfect now, but it's certainly better than when I was living in a life without Christ and experiencing, unfortunately, a lot of the free will from some of the people that were close to me doing wrong things that God gives us. But God's way is the best way. And that's why I was saying He's a chain breaker. My dad, before he passed away, he said, Scott broke the chain. It was Jesus. And the way Jesus did it, first of all, was that He demonstrated and He convinced me that He loved me. Because if He hadn't done that, I'm not going to listen to Him. But He did. And then when I learned that He loved me, I knew that He wanted to save me. But then this is where the chain gets broken. It's when He started to teach me how to have a successful life that I started to learn that this is how you break the chain. You no longer are a slave to that stuff that kept you in bondage. I'm no longer a slave to that stuff that I was continually doing wrong because I loved God enough that I chose to do what He wanted me to do because I had trust in Him. I trusted that He was actually telling me what was good for me, for my own good, not His good, but for my good. And I think that makes a huge difference. When I look back in life and I was thinking, you know, as a kid, as a youth, I was thinking, well, how do I have success? I had the barn in Indiana. You've probably seen the imagery. If you've looked at anything to do with basketball, I lived on that farm and I had that barn and it had a little bit of a hillside on it. And my stepdad nailed a basketball goal to the side of that barn. He didn't do it right, really. He used nails. You shouldn't have done that. He needed to use bolts. You know what I'm saying? Drill it through the wood, and then that way it's going to be a lot more sturdier. But anyway, he nailed it to the side of that barn, and I tell you what, it would be 30 below zero out sometimes, but I would go outside with that basketball, and I mean, it wouldn't bounce. If you've ever been in cold, you know the ball won't bounce in the cold. It just would die right there if you did it. So what you'd have to do is you just take your gloves off for a moment, and then you'd shoot the basket, put the gloves back on, walk and go get the basketball because you were covered up too much with clothes and layers to go running after it. And it would roll down that hill. But when I was chasing that basketball, one of the things I thought to myself is, I'm going to be successful, and here's how I'm going to do it. Because in my town, before all of the school consolidations, the biggest thing we had going was our basketball team. That was the big deal. If you could be one of the five, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. I know it sounds crazy, but if you could be one of the five on the court in front of your community, what would happen is your classmates would respect you and think you're really something. And not only them, but you could go down to the local grocery store and the people in the grocery store are going to say something to you about your ball game the night before, and they're going to start talking to you. And so you're going to think that you're being successful. This was what I thought life was about in my youth. And of course, as life went on, I learned that that was certainly a pipe dream, right? That was foolishness. That was absolute foolishness to think that my life was going to be set if I became a good athlete and played on the basketball team. So when I went on, what I realized immediately was that once that basketball's over, people don't care who you are anymore. It's crazy. Your local popularity is nothing. In fact, you are no longer anybody. People don't speak to you that used to speak. So then I thought in my adult years, my early adult years, I thought, well, here's what I need to do. I need to have a nice house. I need to go and have this nice job. I need to advance and make all of this money so I can have this successful life. Guess what, y'all? That's not it either. And so, you know, I work in school. And so what I find very often is that we're telling our kids what I just explained to you over and over and over. This is what we're telling our kids. If you want to be successful, you've got to have this 4-year degree. Can I tell you something? I know I got a college professor here, and it's not because you're here. But I got to tell you something. A 4-year degree does not mean you've been successful in life. None of that does. I'm going to tell you where success is. And it's what Solomon says. Success is going to be in obeying the Lord and buying into what he's telling you, his teachings. That is success. I told you last week, I said, what we have to do is we have to start having people to learn to listen. Remember, in chapter 1, listen, my son. We were saying, Solomon's talking to his son. He's obviously cares about him, cares about whoever reads this. He wants them to know because he's seen a few things. He's old enough, he's listened, he's lived for a while. And by the way, can I tell you something? He was the one that he actually would have achieved that success that I was talking about, where I said, well, I'd like to have that money, I'd like to be able to have a nice home, and I'd like to have respect around the community. Solomon had that, and he said, that isn't it. And I said last Sunday that there's actually a place in Proverbs where it talks about better to have love in a home with the family, I'm paraphrasing, eating vegetables than no love in the home with a family that has meat to eat. In other words, you're poor, if you're wealthy, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not you have love for each other. Again, successful living. So successful living is going to be found in those types of places and in those types of ways of life that I'm talking about. And so I want to read chapter 2 to you this morning. Because it's only 19 verses or 20 verses, 22, I'm sorry. It's 22 verses. But I got to tell you something, that I see many Christians, people who might be Christian for a long time, and they don't, obviously they go to other churches. I know nobody here. Y'all hear me. I'm just kidding. But I meet Christians all the time that seem to live in a way that they forget what Solomon is telling us is a way to have a successful life. One last thing. I always tell people what wears me out when they find out I'm a pastor is when they ask me to pray for something for them. And I'm going to tell you what they usually ask me for. Money, health, these types of things, right? Success. Advancement in a company, maybe some sort of relationship, which, can I tell you something? That's within their control, working with God. Some sort of relationship that they want with someone. But here, let me tell you something. What they're doing is they're trying to use God to be successful. Y'all need to hear that. We don't use God to be successful. We follow God's teachings. And if we follow His teachings, then at the end, we could say we've been successful. Does that make sense what I'm saying? All right. Let's start off with chapter 2, verse 1 in Proverbs. And it says this: "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair in every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman who with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her hands leads down to death, her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it." Now, this is amazing stuff, because we're living in a day right now. I don't know about you, but even just reading that to you out loud and knowing that I'm in a group, it's hard to imagine, but I was actually a little concerned for what you might think about me reading it, because of everything that Solomon is saying. We're living in a day where people are saying that when we say things like the adulterous woman or wicked men, that we're being very judgmental. We don't even like to talk about it, do we? We always like to say, you know, leave those people alone. They're just living their best life right now. Have you ever heard that? I'm telling you right now, that is not where success is going to be found. You are not going to find success in life doing what you see fit. Let me show you the first thing I want you to see. Solomon said successful living is conditional, because you must grab hold of God's teaching. Now, I use that word grab because I was trying to figure out a way to demonstrate to you all how important it is that we grab hold of God's teachings, that we allow His teachings to come in. We need to be searching for His teaching. Did you hear what Solomon said? He said, you must search for His wisdom as if you were searching for silver. Search for it as if you were searching for hidden treasure. And what would we do if we saw treasure? We would grab hold of it. We would take hold of that, and we would take it with us, and we would keep it. But you know, again, as I said, we're living in a time where people are having trouble listening. They don't want to listen. Many people, even I, have trouble with listening people. I definitely sometimes, if somebody tries to tell me a better way to do something and they might have a little bit more wisdom than me, it's almost like a spiritual discipline for me to just simply zip my mouth and listen to it and let them finish what they're saying, because I already think I know what I'm doing. And so not only are we dealing with that, but we're living with people who want to do what they think is right in their own lives and what will make them happy. And see, here's what I said to you at the very start. You know, I was living in that life. I honestly was living in that life, and I didn't have any of God's teaching in my life. So when I was living in that life before, I was not happy. That is a lie. That is not true. Even though I thought I was doing what was best for me in those moments, until I grabbed hold of God's teachings, when I finally grabbed hold of what God was saying, and I started to learn what He wanted me to learn, and I started to learn His way. And remember, I said last week too, if you grew up in a home where you didn't have any parental supervision, if you'll grab hold of the book of Proverbs in particular, you will learn to be the parent or to be the follower of Christ that God wants you to be just from doing those things. People will learn to respect you. That's called success, right? But if you would listen to this, what Solomon is saying, you will find success and all that stuff that I dreamed of people coming up to me and saying, wow, what a great game you had. What they're going to do and what they will do is that when they see me becoming the person that follows what God says, for example, maybe if somebody pays me evil or gives me evil or does evil to me, what if I don't give evil back? What if I take God's teaching, I grab hold of it, and I store it like a treasure? What if I take a hold of His teaching and His wisdom, and I give back His grace? You know what happens? People will buy into that. It's not about me gaining respect, but then they're going to have respect for God and what He's doing for me in my life. This is how He does it. But you have to grab hold of it. You can't say, well, that wisdom is old and outdated. I think there might be a better way, because now we're back to struggling with you possibly learning to listen, right? We have to say this teaching is right. I believe it by faith that what God says is right for me. This is what I have to grab hold of. Let's look at the next thing I want you to see. Solomon said successful living is conditional because we have to determine to do what is best for God in our hearts. This is huge. So I got to quit using the computer because I'm highlighting on the computer and it's not here when I preach on my book. But if you'll look at, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, for wisdom will enter your heart. This is if you do these things that Solomon is saying. He says, wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge be pleasant to your soul. And right in here, if you want to look at success from your own personal perspective, this is where you're going to find success. Because if you have wisdom in your heart and your soul is satisfied, you are living successful now. And so what's going to happen is you have to determine in your heart to do what is best for God. Do you know how many times this? I'm noticing a trend. We live in the Bible Belt. I know we do. I'm noticing a trend. I think it's possible that I'm pastoring during counseling Christians who have other pastors. And I don't know. I'm assuming it's probably because they don't want their pastor to be aware of stuff they're struggling with. I guess I should have known that a long time ago and just assume that's what it is. But I'm finally picking up on it. And so what I'm noticing when I do these little counseling sessions with other Christians, there's always one problem that everybody seems to be dealing with. They love Jesus, and they have received Christ as their Savior, but they haven't determined in their heart to drink in His teaching or do His will. They haven't determined that to follow Christ is that we actually do what is best for God before we do what is best for us. Now, I'm going to tell you, here's what I've noticed the last month. I have come in contact with people that I know follow Jesus Christ. Now, listen, Solomon's given us, hold that thought, Solomon's given us a couple examples of what God's wisdom will save us from. I'm not going to be running around with a crowd that's out to do wrong. Did y'all pick up on that? They're out to do wrong. They're out to deceive everybody. They're out to trick everybody. They're only thinking of themselves. But then there's also another element. He says, look, you're not going to fall into the trap of adultery. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I am a small church pastor, and it's so difficult to talk about committing adultery because everybody I know, I think, is probably okay. So why does God seem to have in his passages that I usually preach something about adultery? Well, I'm going to tell you something. In the last month, Christians I know, I've happened to be pop in an area where they were with someone else's spouse. Y'all listen to me for a second. This is not about you being good so you don't get a spanking from God. Do you understand? I mean, you need to hear this. God is trying to give you success in your life. He wants you to do well in your life. He is saying that his prescription for doing well in your life is that you buy in and you determine not to do what is best for you, because when you do what is best for you in that quick moment, you're going to find trouble in your life. Now listen, I told you at the start, I said, when I was a kid, I experienced that free will that God gives us from people who were misusing God's free will and only thinking of themselves, which then made me the innocent victim in a drive-by shooting. Just a paraphrase or metaphor. What I'm telling you is that when people do what they want to do and live their best self in that moment, and put God aside, they get hurt, and the innocent get hurt. So God is saying through Solomon to his son, my son, grab hold of this teaching. This big palace I live in, and all of this money that I have, and all of this influence, because I'm the king, is not success. If you want to be successful, then you got to buy into God's teachings. Grab it. Take hold of it. Don't just sit and listen like James would say and not doers of the word. Grab it and take hold of it. Look at the next thing I want you to see. Solomon said successful living is conditional because we allow God to restore our soul. I got that worded all wrong, but that's okay. You get the point. As you hear that verse I read to you, it's about God says wisdom will come into your heart and then the knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Now, I got to tell you something. A lot of people, and I'm telling you right now, I've seen Christians over the last 25 years, I guess. I've seen bitter Christians. I've seen people who are bitter in their lives, and I got to think it's probably because they're not connected to their own souls. Did you know that? It's hard to believe. You know, we talk about saving souls so often in the Christian church. I think it's time we remind people that God wants to restore our souls. Now listen, God is talking about restoring our souls. Solomon's touched on it. And what we know, what happens with people who are bitter, they're usually bitter because even their soul would even hide from them. You know that? We have to go to counseling sometimes so that we can somehow get in touch with our soul, because our soul hides from even from us. And our soul tries to hide from God. And God has to woo our soul with his love so that our soul will come out. This is what happens. And so our souls now will find the opposite of bitterness. They will find joy and pleasantness in the instruction of God when it is in our heart. You see, if you want to know peace in your life, if you want to be able to sit down and even if the world is falling apart at the seams, if you have a pleasant soul, you will have peace. I'm not saying everything's going to go well for you, but you can be at peace with yourself by following God's command. So there's a whole other layer right there that God's doing when he's teaching us to follow his commands. When I was a kid, I just thought, well, God's just telling me what to do. He just wants me to be good. He just wants me to do this. I don't know why I have to do this. I'm telling you why. You'll be happier. Let's look at the last thing I want you to see. I debated about there's a warning, or in Proverbs, there's usually a warning at the end of these. But look at this. I like how Solomon words this. In verse 20, he says, you know, conditional success. He says, listen, if you do this, then this should happen. Not that it's guaranteed, but this is all overall, this should happen in the course of your life. He says, thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, those who do what is right. They're not just called righteous. These are people who actually are doing what is right and just to their neighbors. They're taking care of their neighbors. And so then he says, for the upright, listen, will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. Then he goes on to say, but the wicked will be cut off from the land. In other words, they're going to be chopped out of there. Those who are wicked are the weeds. These are the ones who might even, what I noted earlier with James, they might even listen to the word, but they didn't grab hold of it. They pretended. They were deceptive in the way that they live. These are the ones who are going to be cut off. And then he says, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. I just suspect that that could be those people who say, I'm a Christian. Why am I being taken out of here? So what happens now? Those who believe in Christ, if you don't grab hold of God's wisdom, if you don't embrace it and search for it and put it into your heart, and your soul doesn't find peace in it so that you can somehow live righteously, and do what's right, not perfect, but do what's right toward your neighbors. God says there's people that's going to have to be torn away. The wicked, I would expect, would be the people who weren't intending on being there anyway. But the people that thought they might be there, but didn't live the way God prescribed, these are the ones that will be torn away. I didn't write it. This is from Solomon. I'm going to let God and the Holy Spirit sort all that out. But here's what I learned from it. There comes a payday. I can't go do what I want. I can't do what's right for me before I do what's best for God. I can't do that. If I do that, he's just simply not my God. What would happen if people started preaching like that? What would happen if we started telling people, look, if you're not going to listen to God, I think it might be time for us to say that it's possible that he's not your God. How many people would reevaluate and possibly change their lives instead of us patting them on the back? Like I said, Steve Deneff said, for he's a jolly good fellow. Christian, you want to be successful, then you're going to have to start embracing God's wisdom. And how do you do that? You're going to have to get into the Word of God itself. I tell you all the time, don't just listen to me. You sit down and read it. That is the best thing you can do. And if you can, if you don't like to read, I'll tell you what. I was taking long walks on the Doodle Trail And I'll tell you, man, I had a good time of worship. It was great because I was by myself. I could raise my hands and get goosebumps or whatever I wanted. And I didn't have to worry about somebody watching me because I was all by myself unless a biker come up behind me. But I was out by myself. All you have to do is hit play on your Bible app if you've got earbuds, and you just play and listen to the Bible being read to you. You'll get God's wisdom. You will learn what God has for you to learn, and then you can incorporate. But if you don't buy into what he's saying, then you better start reexamining, hey, if I can't trust him for his teaching, then how can I trust him for salvation? It really does come down to that. But if you want to be the person that keeps doing things as you see fit more than as God sees fit, you heard what Solomon said. And you know what's cool about Solomon? He lived long enough to be able to know that he's seen a thing or two, like farmers who've seen a thing or two. We've experienced that before. We know what happens when this happens. Solomon's the same way. I'm going to ask the team to come and think. There are times when I'm talking to kids and I tell them, look, you have to do this. And you know what they tell me? I can't. I want you all to hear something before we close in prayer. God does not give you expectations that you can't meet. You need to hear that. If you have to forgive someone this morning and you say you can't, you can. You can. You just make yourself do what you don't want to do because you're doing what is best for God and yourself. So right now, with all eyes bowed and heads, eyes closed and heads bowed, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Show you what you need to just simply do. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We're so grateful, Lord, for your word and your teaching. And Father, right now, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that is struggling with anything that I've said, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take them to the word and that you would teach them, Lord, because you're the great teacher. You're the one who teaches. And Father, we're all your pupils. Lord, I pray that you go with us now and bring us back again safely Wednesday and Sunday and help us, Lord, to connect those who are not connected. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen.